Good morning, everybody, and a warm welcome to Arborfield Church this morning. It's very good to see you. As Peter just asked me, I should probably explain the contraption in the corner, not Nick Algio, he's preaching for us a little bit later, but behind him, that is a sort of Heath Robinson setup. We're live streaming into a few people's homes today in the hope that those who still can't join us because they're shielding can sort of join us live online, as it were. So you can just ignore it. It's not looking at you guys. It's just looking at us at the front. But hopefully if that works, then we'll be able to do this each week for those who can't yet join us. You will have your service sheet in the pew. That's got everything you need on there. As I mentioned, it's great to have Nick with us. Nick's one of our mission partners working with Crosslinks in the Gambia. But since lockdown, he and his family, Harriet, Phoebe, Arthur, and baby number three is due in how many weeks?
3 weeks.
So it's great to be able to have Nick with us today. He'll be taking us through the next bit of Matthew's Gospel. If you were with us last week, you'll remember that a remarkable woman, great picture of faith, comes up to Jesus and says, "Have mercy on me." And you'll see from the service sheet here, we're beginning with that, continuing that theme of mercy. Some words from Psalm 116. This is one of those responsive bits where I say the bit that is not in bold, and then if you want to join in, please do respond with the words in bold. Psalm 116. "I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. What shall I return to the Lord for all his goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord." Well, we're still in the position where we're not yet allowed to sing. You are permitted to hum along if you want to, but you'll see in the words of our first song again, reminder of the great mercy available for all who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a quote that I've used many times before, I think, but Richard Sibbes was a Puritan pastor in the 16th century, and he writes this: "Are you bruised? Be of good comfort. Jesus calls you. Conceal not your wounds. Open all before him. Go to Christ. There is more mercy in him than sin in you." Well, our words of our first song very much reinforce that great truth, don't they? His mercy is more.
His life was the cost. We stood neath the debt we could never afford. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. Praise the Lord, His mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more.
Hello, everybody. This is called Family Focus. It used to be called Sunday Club, but we're over here now. Oh, dear. Is that better? Yeah. And in Sunday Club, we had children, but now we have some adults as well, so we're Family Focus. Now, the children will remember that in Sunday Club, we used to do something called our catechism, and which was a sort of question and answer way of teaching the teachings of the Bible. And it's a sort of three-year cycle. And in the first year, we dealt with God and His creation, how He made the world, what He's like. And in the second year, we talked about how humans sinned and the gospel, the good news about Jesus. But this year is year three, and this year is all about living the Christian life, what it is to live as a Christian. And we're starting the year by talking about some of the really big words in the Bible and trying to work out what they mean, because we use them all the time in church, and sometimes we don't know what they mean. Now, I guess if we asked Patricia or Richard or Alison or Joe or Poppy or any of these people here, they would know exactly what all these words mean, but not everybody knows, so we're just going to sort of do a little bit of a refresher about it. And this morning is the first of these words, and it's the word redemption. And our question this morning is this: what is redemption? Now, you might have noticed that I am wearing quite a heavy rucksack this morning. All right, and I'm not wearing it because I'm about to go on a big hike or anything like that. I'm wearing this rucksack as a kind of illustration, and it's an illustration of the weight, the burden, the heavy stuff that we all have to carry about with us every day. Every person who's been born has had to carry this weight, all right, with the exception of one. And if I turn round, now you mustn't shout it out because we're not allowed to shout, but I guess you can all see what the heavy weight is. All right? We got it? Perfect. So the heavy weight that we all have to carry around is sin and evil. And what redemption means is this: God freeing sinners from sin and evil. God freeing sinners from sin and evil. And how did He do that? He did it by sending the Lord Jesus Christ into our world to die on the cross for us. And so when we believe in Jesus and we become Christians, then that happens. Okay? And the sin and the weight, the evil, goes away. Those things begin to lose their power over us. Not finished until we die and go to heaven, but that is when it begins to happen, when we believe in Jesus. So our question this morning, I've just dropped my book, so I'm just going to have to find it. There we go. So our question and answer this morning is about what is redemption. So what is redemption? And the answer is this: God freeing sinners from sin and evil at a great price. So I'm wondering if we could all just very quietly, so as not to project any nastiness into the air, just join in with saying that. So I'm going to break it into two bits. So we'll start off by saying, what is redemption? God freeing sinners from sin and evil. And then we'll say it again: what is redemption? God freeing sinners from sin and evil at a great price. So let's see if we could do that. What is redemption? God freeing sinners from sin and evil. Let's say it again. What is redemption? God freeing sinners from sin and evil at a great price. And let's just say it once more, just so it's firmly fixed in our minds. What is redemption? God freeing sinners from sin and evil at a great price. Now, in Sunday Club, we always used to do a sword drill where we used to look in one of these. Do you remember what one of these is? Don't see these in church anymore, do we? We just have pieces of paper. And this is a Bible. And so our sword drill verse this morning is Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. And I've been thinking all week about how to do a socially distanced sword drill without Bibles. And it's not very easy. So what we're going to do is a little show of hands, okay? So I hope everybody's feeling really awake for this. I'd like you to put your hand up if you... Actually, people are going to be embarrassed, aren't they? Close your eyes, okay? Put your hand up if you think Ephesians is in the Old Testament. And now, put your hand up if you think Ephesians is in the New Testament. Brilliant. You can put your hands down and open your eyes now for a little break. And now I'm going to ask one more question. So we've got a kind of majority there for the New Testament. So is Ephesians at the beginning of the New Testament in the Gospels, or is it later on in the New Testament in the letters? All right, so if you'd like to close your eyes, have a little think about that. And if you'd like to put your hand up if you think it's early on in the New Testament in the Gospels. And now put your hand up if you think it's later on in the New Testament in the letters. And now put your hand up if you're not sure. Okay, brilliant. You can open your eyes now. And we kind of reckon that Ephesians is in the New Testament in the letters, which is right. And I'm just going to read this verse, Ephesians 1, 7. In him, that's in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We're going to be having a family focus each week as part of our services going forward. Very grateful to Steve and the team for agreeing to take that on. Just a few notices. The first of which, Steve is available for welding. If you need any work doing at home, then do speak to him. He's got the mask and everything. But everything else is on the back of the church family news. So our growth groups restarted. They're our midweek groups. They're all happening on Zoom. For obvious reasons. If you want to join one of those, people are joining them all the time. You don't have had to have been before, but if you want to know more, do speak to me afterwards. Youth and kids leaders training. I guess some of us look at that and think, well, we're not youth or kids leaders. It's actually something that Mel, our children's worker, has organised with a friend of hers, Mel Lacey, and that will be on Zoom as well. And as it says, that's going to be great for all those involved in youth and children's ministry. But also parents might find it really helpful. And indeed, it's open to anyone in the church family. So if this is the sort of thing that actually interests you, then again, you're very welcome to sign up and join on Zoom. Patricia, do you want to make your way up? Just as Patricia does that, Electra role update. So APCMs, as you remember, they've been postponed but not cancelled. We think we're going to hold ours probably in October or early November. We've got till the end of November to do that. And it's going to be obviously very trimmed down. We'll do everything. All the reports will be written reports, but the sort of we need to do the official bit of wardens and deanery and synod reps and PCC members. We're thinking we can probably do that after church one Sunday morning. That might be the best way of doing that. Once you've got a date, we'll let you know, obviously. But if you want to be voting during the APCM, you need to be on our electoral roll. And we've got time to get you on that now. That whole process starts again. And Alison, who's waving and who'll be praying a little bit later, is the person to speak to about all electoral roll matters. Patricia.
So we've got our next women's evening via Zoom coming up. And I've created a few slides to help us think about what that's going to be. So the first slide is showing you what I really want conversations after church to be like, how I dream that they're going to come, that we'll all get together and we'll talk about how the Bible applies to our life, and I'll ask wise and sensible questions, and it'll be a lovely conversation. But when it gets to coffee conversations, what actually happens is I think, if I ask them about Jesus, they'll freeze. And so in the end, what the conversations actually turn out like is talking about the weather and the office, and we never really delve deeper into how we're going with Jesus. So the women's evening is to chat through how to talk about Jesus in a more relaxed, conversational way. And so we're going to have lots and lots of practical examples. That's the plan. And that's on the 1st of October at 8 o'clock in the evening.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. Do speak to Patricia if you'd like to know more about that, or Felicity or Alison. Right. Turning over the page, you'll see we come to the time in the service where we're going to hear God's word read to us and then preach to us. So as Joe makes his way up to do our reading, let me pray for us. Father God, we want to thank you for the opportunity we have to gather this morning and pray to you, but also to hear from you in your word. Thank you that you are a speaking God and that you speak to us today. And we pray, Lord, that once again you would do that through your word and by your spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen.
This morning's reading is from Matthew chapter 15, verses 29 to 39. It's on your service sheets. Jesus left there and went along the Sea of Galilee. Then he went up on a mountainside and sat down. Great crowds came to him, bringing the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others, and laid them at his feet, and he healed them. The people were amazed when they saw the mute speaking, the crippled made well, the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they praised the God of Israel. Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. I do not want to send them away hungry, or they may collapse on the way. His disciples answered, Where could we get enough bread in this remote place to feed such a crowd? How many loaves do you have? Jesus asked. Seven, they replied, and a few small fish. He told the crowd to sit down on the ground. Then he took the 7 loaves and the fish, and when he had given thanks, he broke them and gave them to the disciples, and they in turn to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. Afterwards, the disciples picked up 7 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was 4,000, besides women and children. After Jesus had sent the crowd away, he got into the boat and went to the vicinity of Magadan.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's a real blessing for me to be with you. Andy's already prayed for us. Joe's read for us. Please do keep this the Bible reading handy if you can, because we'll be referring to it a few times. But as we start, I just want to put a picture up on the screen. There are 4 girls here. I want you to think, which ones do you want to hang out with? Chat with your neighbour, or maybe don't chat, just have a think, give a knowing nod to your neighbour. Which ones do you want to hang out with? Don't know about you, I probably want to hang out with one of these three. Not so keen on hanging around with the outsider. Let's have the next slide, please. Look at these Olympians and Paralympians. I want to ask you, this is from 2012, so some years ago, but my favourite year. I don't know if you went to any of the Olympics in London. This was them showing off in their kit. Which one of those athletes would you most like to hang out with? Don't know if you recognise them. Have a think. Again, I'm not sure which one you picked. My guess is you'd probably be thinking a combination of Olympians and Paralympians. You probably have respect for the Paralympians, but you're probably thinking I'd most like to hang out with one of the Olympians. That was reflected in the numbers of crowds who watched the Olympics compared with the Paralympics. really just making the point here is that we love, don't we, to naturally spend time with those who are like us. We love naturally to spend time with insiders, with the crowd. But the question for us this morning is that a Christian attitude? Is that Christian at all? Well, Joe read us the feeding of the 4,000. And in this reading, we learn this lesson. It's that Jesus cares for outsiders, and so should we. Jesus cares for outsiders, and so should we. As it was being read, I wonder if you had a bit of deja vu, thinking this sounds familiar. Well, if you did, you'd be exactly right, because this feeding of the 4,000 comes just one chapter after Jesus has fed 5,000 people. It's almost exactly the same event. When I was quite a young Christian, about 20 years old, I read through the whole of Mark's Gospel. It's the same in Mark's Gospel, and you get feeding of the 5,000 followed by feeding of the 4,000. I was thinking, why has this been put in the Bible twice? I already know Jesus can do this trick. Why is Mark just telling me again with just a smaller number? Well, after studying the word a little bit, I understand why now. It's quite straightforward. You see, when Jesus feeds 5,000 people, he's really coming here to say that he is the awesome Messiah and Saviour of the Jews. And now he feeds 4,000 in the same way, but these are Gentiles. And the message is this: Jesus is the Messiah and the Saviour of everybody, including outsiders. And that's the point of this story. Jesus cares for outsiders, and so should we. So let's look at this story in a bit more detail. And the first thing I really just want us to get to grips with is the fact that Jesus came for outsiders. He came for outsiders. So Jesus is in Gentile territory. You could say this is an away fixture for him. But Jesus' reputation is so big that even though he's not in his home, people come flocking to him. Look at verse 30. It says, "Great crowds came to him, bringing the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others, and laid them at his feet, and he healed them." It doesn't matter that this is an away fixture for Jesus. In fact, the point is rather that nothing is an away fixture for Jesus, because he's come for everyone. It goes on in verse 31. "The people were amazed when they saw the mute speaking, the crippled made well, the lame walking, and the blind seeing." Now, Jesus has come for outsiders, and he's come to heal outsiders. Here are those who are disabled. They're not those who are valued by society, not then, not now. They may be a burden on society. They're those often treated as second class, but not to Jesus, because Jesus has come for the outsiders. And so should we. Do you know the expression PLU? PLU, they're PLU, they're people like us. It's a name for people who you probably want to hang out with because they're similar to you. We prefer people who are like us, but not Jesus. Think of all the differences between Jesus as a Jew and the Gentiles who he's hanging around with. They probably eat different food. They wear different clothes. They have different jokes, different sense of humour. They have different politics. They have different history. As a Jew, Jesus has nothing in common with these Gentiles. But here it's even more than just cultural issues. These are the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute. They're nothing like Jesus. But does that matter? Not a bit to Jesus. The great news of the gospel is that Jesus has come for all without exception. And when he returns, he's going to deal with all of our problems. All who trust in Jesus, doesn't matter who you are, he's going to deal, as the Messiah, he's going to deal with all of our problems. Now, I think it's tempting as a church to think, oh, Jesus has come for outsiders. That's nice for the outsiders. How lucky for them. But that's slightly missing the point, really, because, in fact, all of us are outsiders. My guess is that we're 100% Gentile here this morning. I might be wrong, but most of us will be Gentiles. That means we are outsiders. The only reason we consider ourselves to be insiders is because Jesus has brought us inside through his death on the cross. He's made us one of his people, but that's not our nature. So we should be clear that we're the ones who benefit from Jesus coming for outsiders. So, first thing to get clear on is that Jesus has come for outsiders. But the second thing, just to sort of turn the volume up a little bit, is that Jesus cares for outsiders. We all know the difference, don't we, between a doctor who cares and a doctor who doesn't really care. It doesn't really affect their ability very often to get you well. But it's great, isn't it, when you have a doctor who's there not just to pick up their salary, but they really care for you. You can feel it, can't you? And Jesus is like one of those doctors who really cares for his patients. He's not just come to the Gentiles to pick up his salary. He's come to the Gentiles because he really cares for the Gentiles. When Jesus fed the 5,000 back in Matthew chapter 14, he feeds the 5,000 as well, but he sort of does this as a reaction to the disciples saying, oh look, we should send these people away because they're going to be hungry. But here, when Jesus feeds the 4,000, the Gentiles, those who are outsiders to him, he proactively, he says so something like this: I love these guys. I really want to hang out with them, and I want to eat together with them. That's not his exact words, but look what he does say at verse 32. This is what he says: I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. I do not want to send them away hungry, or they may collapse on the way. We see Jesus' heart here, don't we? We see his heart for the outsider. He takes the initiative to look after them. He cares for outsiders exactly the same way as he cares for insiders. And that's a great encouragement for all of us this morning. I don't know what challenges you're going through, but whatever they are, Jesus cares about your challenges. Now, if we looked at the detail of the feeding of the 5,000, the feeding of the 4,000 a bit more, we'd see there are so many similarities, so many of the ways in which it's written is exactly the same. But one thing I find a little bit surprising about, the similarities is the disciples' reaction. You see, the disciples have seen Jesus feed the 5,000 once. They didn't know he could do that. But now it's the second time round. You'd expect them to sort of know the drill, wouldn't you? You can imagine someone like Peter getting the disciples round saying, you know, come on, James, you bring the fish. Come on, John, you bring the bread. Andrew, you get the baskets. We'll wait for Jesus to give thanks, and then we'll dish out and we'll feed the 4,000 like last time. That's what you sort of expect them to say. But it's not like that at all, is it? Look at verse 33. His disciples answered, where could we get enough bread in this remote place to feed such a crowd? It's almost like a joke, but it's not a joke. They haven't got it. It's remarkable. And the question, I guess, is why don't they get it? Why are they so slow to realise what Jesus can do? Well, I think it's partly just that they're very spiritually slow to learn about Jesus. And we're all like that, aren't we? Don't you find you need to learn the same lesson about Jesus again and again and again? It's like you know it in your head, but it takes a lot of time to go down into your heart. I think there's a sense in which that's what it's like for the disciples. But I think it's also that the disciples really just can't get their heads around the fact that Jesus has come for outsiders, people who are not like them. They just can't get it. And don't you find yourself being so similar to these disciples? But that's what the story's here for. That's what it's to teach us. It's that Jesus has come for outsiders. And therefore, he cares for them. He cares for outsiders, and so should we care for outsiders. Now, I think if you'd call yourself an evangelical Christian, you probably think, yeah, I know this. But don't you find often my observation anyway, is that evangelical Christians can be so slow really to get our heads around the fact that Jesus has come for outsiders. Or if we have understood it in our heads, it's failed to sort of get through to the heart level, to change our lives. We often do everything we can, don't we, to live safe, comfortable lives, to surround ourselves with people like us. It's very hard to do that, though, and care for people who are not like you. So how can we respond to this challenge? Let me make some suggestions as we close. Firstly, pray. Pray that you would have compassion for outsiders. Pray that you'd care for outsiders, people not like you. Compassion, care, it's really a heart thing, isn't it? It's a change in attitude. And yet, earlier in chapter 15, we see what our hearts are naturally like, and it's not good news. See, the only way that our hearts are really going to brim with care and compassion for those who are different to us is if Jesus is at work to change your heart. So pray that the Lord would give you compassion for outsiders. I found myself recently praying for this so regularly for myself regarding people in the Gambia where we normally live. Very often I just find there are so many differences between me and a Gambian that I start to lack empathy. It's just a different world, it often feels like. And I can stop caring. And I've been saying, Lord, please give me great compassion for people, these people who are different to me. I want to love them like you love them. But here's the thing though, the gap between me and a Gambian is far, far smaller than the gap between me and the Lord Jesus Christ. But did that stop the Lord Jesus Christ from loving me, from having compassion on me? And that brings us to my second point, really. So pray, but also think. And what I mean is, just remember that the compassion that the Lord Jesus Christ had on you. Jesus had the most safe, comfortable, happy existence that is possible. And yet he left all of that to come and live amongst us and die on the cross for us. He left it all. That's the compassion that Jesus has for us outsiders. Think on that. Think of the compassion that the Lord has on you. And by his grace, that compassion that he's had on you might overflow to others. So pray, think. Thirdly, act. Now pick one outsider this week, someone who's maybe culturally different to you, maybe someone who's not a believer. Think of someone who you can care for this week. It's quite tricky, isn't it, in lockdown to know how we can care for people. But it doesn't get us off the hook, does it? Because actually at this time we've all got greater needs, not fewer needs, although it's complicated how we can meet them. But try and think, what's one way you could act in compassion, in kindness, in care towards an outsider this week? So think, so pray, think, act. And then finally, act radically. Sort of cheating, I'm saying act twice, but bear with me. What I mean is that as Christians, we should really be thinking big, shouldn't we? In the next chapter in Matthew's Gospel, Matthew 16, Jesus is going to say this. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. A friend of mine massively challenged me on this recently by his example. He's around 50 years old. Him and his wife have four children, and they've all left home or about to leave home. And rather than decide finally peace and quiet in the house, we can watch Netflix every evening. Do you know what he's done? He's fostered a baby and her mother, who's really struggling to look after her. Imagine the burden that is placing on their life. That is completely life transforming, isn't it, for them? And it make their lives much harder. But why has he done it? Because he's understood that to be a Christian is to have compassion on others. Compassion on others who might be nothing like you. Now, at the moment, our society, we've got huge needs, don't we? Even aside of COVID-19, we think of Jesus and the New Testament's, in fact, the whole Bible's emphasis again and again on looking after widows and orphans. Well, immigrants, asylum seekers, refugees, they have huge needs. There's children who need adopting and fostering. Of course, life is very complicated and the ways in which we can help ourselves will hugely vary. But let's not do nothing because we lack compassion for outsiders. Because Jesus cares for outsiders. And so shouldn't we? Let's pray that the Lord would do a work in our heart to make us more like him. Father in heaven, we are just like the disciples. We're so slow to learn. We're so slow to get a grip to the fact that you sent the Lord Jesus Christ to come for people who were so totally different to you. What compassion you showed us in sending the Lord Jesus Christ to die for us. Father, we are outsiders that you've brought inside. We pray that we'd have great compassion on those who don't know you, how they need the gospel. We pray we'd have great compassion on those who have great material needs. And please, would you make us more and more each day to be like our Saviour? Would we abound in acts of compassion particularly for those who are different to us. We ask these things for your glory. Amen.
Nick, thank you very much. Our next song provides us with an opportunity to think a little more upon the care and compassion of the Lord Jesus. Verse 2, he left his Father's throne above, so free, so infinite his grace, emptied himself of all but love, and bled for Adam's helpless race.
And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Saviour's blood? Died he for me, who caused his pain, for me who him to death pursued? Amazing love. You, my God, shouldst die for me. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my God, shouldst die for me? He left his Father's throne above, so free, so infinite his grace, emptied himself of all but love, and bled for Adam's helpless race. What mercy this! Quickening ray, I woke the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off, your voice I knew. I rose, went forth, and followed you. My chains fell off. Condemnation now I dread, Jesus and all in him is mine. Alive in him, the living head, and clothed in righteousness divine, bold I approach the eternal throne and claim the crown through Christ my own. Bold I approach the eternal throne and claim the crown through Christ my own. Mm-hmm.
Well, we come now to a time of prayer, and Alison is very kindly going to lead us in that. You'll see on the service sheets at one point we'll be saying the confession together and the Lord's Prayer. Do join in at those times if you want to.
Just before we go to the confession, just a little introduction. I've been listening on YouTube to lots of Christian testimonies, and I've got a bit stuck on Mormons who've turned to Christ. And I didn't really know much about Mormonism, but it's a hugely works-based religion, and people who've been in it for like 30 years find the Lord Jesus. And just that illustration that Steve gave with the burden falling off his shoulders, that is such a picture of what so many of these people say. When they find out that Jesus has done everything and they don't have to work to get to know God, Jesus has done it all. And so that's what we're going to start off in our prayer of confession, to think about that. So let's join together to say, Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. So we have three prayers this morning. And our first prayer is linked to the passages in Matthew that we have been looking at. And at the end of each prayer section, I will say, Lord, hear us. If you would like to join in, please respond, Lord, graciously hear us. Father God, we can identify with the different people in Matthew 15 as we come to prayer. Sometimes we come to you with the same attitude as the Pharisees, proud of our religiosity and of our achievements in your service, and looking down on whoever we consider to be unclean. And we are unaware of the sin inside us. Sometimes we come to you like the disciples who wanted Jesus to send the Canaanite woman away, regarding her as unworthy of notice. We too can have blinkers on, oblivious of our blind spots and prejudices, and of forgetting the things that you have done in the past. Sometimes we come to you in prayer as the Canaanite woman, conscious of our unworthiness, recognizing your authority and power to intervene, and we come pleading for your help. Help us to come to you in this way today. Give us a clear vision of ourselves, our communities, of all those different to ourselves, whether in worldview, class, or race. Beyond all this, give us a clear view of the Lord Jesus Christ, who he is, his character, his word, his death on the cross and resurrection. And show us how we can grow to be more like him day by day. We plead with you for your mercy and grace for all those who are mourning the loss of loved ones. And we ask that you might draw very near to the Jeffers family today. Thank you for the first book group meeting last week that the ladies held, and the chapter on how we can choose and watch films and programs more thoughtfully, engaging with our family, neighbors, and friends. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. Secondly, a prayer for the COVID situation. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. But when he looked at the high waves, he was terrified and began to sink. Save me, Lord, he cried. Dear Lord, we are fearful as we hear of the numbers of virus cases increasing again and the possibilities of more restrictions. Already many have been affected by job uncertainties, redundancy, deteriorating health, whether physical or mental. And we wonder how we can weather another round. We pray particularly for exhausted key workers and for those at the end of their tether. Please give us the eyes of faith to look to you for strength, that we may give comfort and strength to those around us. We pray for our country to recognise our frailty and our need of you. We thank you for the peace of God which transcends all understanding, that will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Keep us looking to you, following advice given, not burying our heads in the sand, but also managing sensibly the input of news which can inform us, but can also encourage a critical spirit and maybe cause panic. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. And in our last prayer, we pray for open doors and the work in the Lebanon. Lebanon has suffered political unrest and corruption, economic problems, and now COVID-19, that huge explosion in August, and now devastating fires. Lebanon is a country with huge numbers of refugees, 1.5 million from Syria, some from Palestine and other countries. Dear Lord, we lift the people of the Lebanon to you. We pray for Open Doors partner, Pastor Nihad, who has asked for our prayers as local churches provide help, hope, and practical support for people in desperate situations. Lord Jesus, you who provided food for the 4,000, we pray that you would prosper the efforts to rebuild the harbour which was damaged in the explosion and through which so much aid is needed to arrive. Protect the incoming aid from corrupt people who would seek to siphon off the aid to profit themselves. And we pray for people to see the character of God through these acts of love and meet the Saviour who brings new life, new purpose and healing. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. We ask all these prayers in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Alison, thank you very much. That brings us to the end of our service. As always, would you please remain in your pews until you're asked to leave the building so we avoid a crush at the end. But let's close by saying the grace together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.